Before the invasion of Ukraine, if you wanted to buy one US dollar in Russia, it cost you about 80 rubles. Now it's more than 110. That's because investors are fleeing the country, and economic sanctions from around the world are squeezing the Russian economy, as in the Russian people. So what do things look like for, say, a family of four there? Let's talk to Charles Maines, NPR correspondent in Moscow. Charles, welcome.
Good to be with you.
Now, these sanctions are financially complicated, but they handcuff the Kremlin's ability to keep the ruble at a steady level. So what does that mean for the price of food or gasoline or rent?
Well, you know, I think, Scott, it's important to realize that there were already inflation issues with the supply chain problems that came from COVID. You know, of course, we've seen that in the U.S. Mm-hmm. as well. So prices on, you know, staple groceries in particular have gone up, and that hurts people on a tight budget. And that's a lot of Russians. You know, it's a wealthy country judging by its resources, but the gap between the few haves and the majority of have-nots is huge. You know, it's not like the U.S. where there's a large middle class. And so with sanctions, the issue here really becomes about imported goods. You know, Russia doesn't produce a lot of what Russians want to buy. And those prices are certainly going to go up. You know, that's consumer tech, cars, home appliances, that kind of stuff. Things that really improve the quality of life and have over the past, you know, two, three decades after the collapse of the Soviet Union. You know, but in terms of domestic production, you know, Russia is a gas producer, so the sticker shock, you know, should be fairly minimal. But that said, you know, Russians, like Americans, always complain about the price of gas. And it's sort of the commonality there.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
You know, for me, I think the larger question is whether, you know, who they blame at the end of the day for this economic turbulence. Is it the U.S. or is it Putin? And I think the jury's still out.
Yeah. Well, the ruble has lost value ever since 2014 when Russia annexed Crimea, got hit with sanctions then. Do you have a sense that the Russian people have had to get used to this economic pressure?
Well, they have, but they have even in the post-Soviet years, which saw multiple economic crashes, 92, 98. In a way, that was the appeal of Putin when he came on the scene in around basically the millennium. You know, his brand early on was stability. And when he came on the scene, it was after years of economic chaos. And that brand has taken a hit in recent years because of sanctions that began in 2014 with the annexation of Crimea. You know, that caused the value of the ruble to drop dramatically, but it was balanced out by a certain, let's call it, imperial euphoria over what caused it. You know, the fact that Crimea was annexed from Ukraine and was part of of Russia proper, according to the Russians, you know, triggered all these sanctions, but a lot of people supported that move. And the difference is that that hasn't happened this time. You know, with the Donbass, this East Ukraine territory, with the subsequent invasion of Ukraine, there's just not a lot of euphoria. You know, polls show a majority still support what the government insists, by penalty of law, I should add, is a limited special military operation. But we'll see. You know, the human costs of the campaign aren't clear, and certainly to Russians, the new sanctions are just starting to bite.
Yeah. So as people see, or they wait to see, the prices of these imported goods go up, what else are they doing? Is anyone rushing to get, say, their cash out of banks as the rubles are losing value?
There's been a run on rubles here, primarily because people just don't know what will happen next. There's a kind of a fear that the electronic or credit transactions may be canceled due to all these sanctions going on some major Russian banks. So you see long lines at the ATM. I'm lined up too, I might add. And also,
you are,
you know, at the metro today, you know, this InstaPay system, you know, which was using, you know, Google Pay and Apple Pay, that stopped working because the bank that provided it is under sanctions.
And what information about sanctions are the Russian people getting? We know there's state media, but there's also social media, yeah?
Yeah, and of course, these tell very different stories. If we talk about, you know, Russian state media, it, of course, toes the government line. And that is, again, this is not a war, but a humanitarian operation, essentially, to stop a genocide, according to the Kremlin, of Russian speakers in the Donbass and East Ukraine. Or they support and argue Putin's other point about this, which is this is about stopping NATO aggression, its expansion towards Russia's borders, and that's an existential threat in their view. And it's against this backdrop that sanctions are essentially portrayed as a cost to be paid for the sake of national security, or the latest example of the U.S. trying to keep Russia down.
Mm. And finally, can I ask about interest rates? One way the Russian central bank can kind of prop up the ruble is by raising interest rates and keep the investors in. What's the impact of that?
Well, it's they have a certain, you know, pillow to play with, and the question is whether it's enough. You know, again, we saw, for example, on Monday, the ruble lost, you know, 30% of its value. Today, it bumped up just a bit. But I think people will be looking to see what happens going forward. And, you know, I think the bigger issue here is, again, will Russians see this as a consequence of Putin's actions in Ukraine, or will they agree with him that this is really Western aggression? And that's the big question.
All right. NPR's Charles Maines in Moscow. Charles, thank you.
Thank you.